Isn't it beautiful when families all come and they worship together? I believe that's what God designed, and I believe that's what his intentions were, is that the entire family of God would come together in one place. This is where the little sheep are fed next to the shepherd's tents, and God has designed it that way. And I'll tell you, God's designs are always perfect, aren't they? They're never lacking in any way. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 this morning. I want to look at a parable that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke and gave in Matthew chapter 25 for a few moments this morning, and praying that God would help us with some good thoughts about that parable. Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to begin in verse 14. I may read quite a bit here. This is a pretty long parable. It goes all the way through verse 30, was as far as I wanted to go with it this morning, but it's a pretty long. I might not read it all word for word, but it's pretty long. So bear with me just for a moment. It's pretty important that we get the full picture and the full setting of what Jesus is saying here. He says that the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. When his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And in verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. There thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And then the Lord says, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I guess I ended up, I read every verse. But isn't that a very interesting parable that the Lord has spoken here? I believe it's a very important one, and I believe it has several points and several principles that apply very much to you and I today. You might have noticed, I believe the parable is referring to the Lord himself. I believe he is the same Lord that is Lord and Master in the story, and And he has servants that are involved in this that he gave some of his very valuable possessions to. I believe it's a picture of the Lord and you and I, and in the way that we're servants of his. But he says that when he got ready to take his trip, he said he took his very valuable possessions. The Bible calls them talents. Now, a talent in the Bible is not a coin or something, but it is a weight of something precious. It could have been gold. It could have been silver or some other precious commodity, but a talent is a certain weight of something that's valuable. So in other words, he gave a certain portion of valuable things. Maybe it's gold or silver. I don't know. He didn't say. He gave some to one of his servants. He turned and he gave a part of it to another servant. And then he gave another part to the third servant. And he says, and then he took his trip. You might have noticed that he gave something to everyone. There wasn't any servants that were left out, but all three of his servants were given something, and I believe that he had an expectation for all three of them. And so, certainly, we have understood by the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Bible that a good steward would be someone who bears fruit. And so I believe that the Lord and Master in this particular story, I believe that when he gave the talents unto his servants and he left and went on a journey for a season, I fully believe and have always understood that his expectation was that they would bear fruit with that which he had given them. And so they all had a job to do. They all received something. And, you know, just for you and I, in terms of our life and in terms of things that the Lord may have given us, and in fact, he has certainly given us many things, the same might be said is that everything belongs to the Lord. In this story, all of the talents ultimately belonged to the Lord of the story. He didn't give them to the servants to do with as they will or as they wish, but the talents still belong to the Lord. The same is true with you and I, and the blessings and the gifts that the Lord has given you and I, everything still belongs to the Lord. We don't really have anything in our life that is ours. It all belongs to God, if you ask me. We might have a lot of nice things. We might have been blessed in many different ways in our lives. And I know, in fact, we are and we have been. And I have an expectation that God will continue to bless us. But I also have the understanding at the same time that the things that each of us have, they still belong to the Lord. We don't have blessings in this life except God give us those things. And so, therefore, there goes out the window any opportunities for you and I to be able to brag upon ourselves and our own abilities. God has given us many blessings. But all of the talents in this story belong to the Lord. And so what happens when he returns from his trip, but that he is ready for a reckoning with each one of what they have done? I believe that the same is true with us. You remember I have talked before or mentioned before over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about verse 10 where it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, how that I've always believed that you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ each and every day of our lives to receive the things done in our bodies, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And I've always believed that our judgment is now. It's every day while we live in this life. You and I do not live in fear of a final judgment after we die or at the last day where we go stand before God and the scales of justice are there before him and we're judged in some sort of way for our righteousness and or our good deeds, so forth and so on, as many people believe. I don't believe that. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I believe our judgment is now. The judgment in this story is now. It's while these servants are living, their Lord has come back and he is judging them or coming for an accounting of how have you done with that which I've given you. And another thing that I noticed here is that when the Lord comes back and he's ready for a reckoning is an accounting term. It's not like you and I use it. I reckon I might go to the store this afternoon, but it's an accounting term. And so when he is ready for an accounting of that which has taken place, did you notice that he comes to each one individually? He didn't come to the group and ask for an accounting of how did the group do. You know, if you think about it this way, as a whole, all three servants, they really did pretty well, didn't they? I mean, they started out with 5 and 2, 7 plus 1 is 8 talents. They started out with 8 and they ended up with 15. Because one gained 5 more, one gained 2 more, one did nothing. So 8 plus 7, they ended up with 15 talents. They started with 8. I mean, who would not enjoy a return on your investment that was that good? I mean, that's probably, what, 80, 90% return. That's pretty good. But the Lord in this story, he wasn't interested in that. He was interested in individual accountability. He's not interested so much in how we do as a church sometimes, but he is very interested in how we do individually. Now, I think he's interested in both, but he's especially interested in how we do individually because he came to each one severally to ask for an accounting. I thought that was very interesting. It's very interesting to me that, one, he gave 5 talents. And did you notice, by the way, that the Lord is sovereign in this matter? He's the owner of all these talents. He's the owner of the valuable goods. And he is completely sovereign as to how he chooses to divvy these up. He gave 5 to one, he gave 2 to another, and 1 talent to the third one. But it says, did you notice in the scriptures, it says that how he did that, he says he gave to every man according to his several ability. So the Lord in this story has divvied up his goods unto different men, different servants, depending on the abilities that each one had individually. I believe God does the same today. God is the giver of spiritual gifts to his people, and he gives different gifts to each one of us. And these are valuable gifts. And he gives these gifts to each one of us depending on our several abilities. And what I love is that there is much diversity in how he did this. God is completely sovereign in everything he does. People in this world, they might look at this and say, well, this is unfair. He gave 5 to one and he only gave 2 to this one. And of course, this third one, he really got rooked out of a good deal, didn't he? He only got 1 talent. That's how the world would think about it. But I'll tell you, God is sovereign in the dispensing of his blessings and his mercies. And he always has been and he always will. But he dispensed them and he gave them out according to each one's abilities. I really like that. Of course, the first two, when he came back and he got a reckoning, and one seems like he was probably very joyous when the Lord is ready for his accounting. One, you could almost picture him going gleefully back to his Lord, says, Lord, you gave us me 5 talents and I've gained you 5 more. And here they are. And of course, his Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that gained 2, the same thing. You could almost see him very gladly and very with an expectation going and saying, Lord, you've given me 2 and I've gained you 2 more. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It almost seems like the Lord is rewarding both their diligence and their faithfulness. I believe that God is interested in your diligence and your faithfulness to him. God is very much interested, and he's very much interested in your diligence and your faithfulness on a personal level. A very personal level. You, yourself, he's interested in your diligence, and he's interested in your accountability. Yes, he's interested in the church as a whole. He most certainly is. He had a little thing to share with us a few weeks back to help us improve, didn't he? He sure did, as a church. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that he did. We are better for it. We are better off for it. I'm thankful that God expressed his love to us by showing us something we could do better. But he's very interested in us individually. I'm so thankful that those two were faithful and they were diligent. They immediately got to work. They took the talents that they were given and they immediately went to work trading and working and earning more. Not just sitting there doing nothing, but they took the gifts they were given and they earned more with it. They produced fruit, and their Lord and their master was so very pleased and so very happy with them. But what about that third one? What about that third one? The Lord was very pleased with the first two because of their diligence and their faithfulness, and he rewarded them. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." If there was ever one place in this world I had a desire to go, it would be into the joy of my Lord. If there was anything I could ever do and structure my life and steer my life towards, it would be to land in the joy of my Lord, if I could ever do that. But how about that third one? I'll tell you, he had a problem, didn't he? He took the one talent that the Lord gave him, and what did he do? He turned and he dug a hole and he buried it in the earth and he sat on his hands and he did nothing. And you know, it feels like that when the Lord came back, the Lord was very displeased with his laziness and his indifference. The Lord was clearly displeased with his laziness. You know, it's funny too, as you read this, you read the response of the young man when he comes back and he says, "Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man and I knew that thou were reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where you've not strawed." And he says, "And I was afraid. You've made me afraid." And he says, "And therefore I went and hid thy talent in the earth." And he like boldly proclaims, "Here it is, that is thine. Here's yours, here's your talent, here it is. I haven't lost it. I was scared and I was afraid because I knew you were a very demanding Lord and I was afraid, so I buried it, I kept it safe, and here it is. I'm proud. I'm proud of what I've done." He's kind of boldly saying that. It's almost as if he has no idea that he is an unprofitable servant. You see that? You can almost picture him when his Lord comes back saying, "Well, here it is. I've protected it. I didn't lose anything, and here it is. It's yours, and here it is." It's like he has no idea how unprofitable he really was, because he was lazy and he was indifferent and he was slothful and he chose to do nothing. And his Lord was much displeased. And I don't know about his thoughts. I don't know about his thought process of what led him to make the decision that even though I've only been given one talent, you see, I don't think it was about a certain quantity of money. I don't think that has anything to do with the parable. It's not about money. It's about what are you doing with that which has been given you. You see, one man had five talents and he made five more and the Lord was very happy. Another only had two talents. He had less than half, but he gained two more and his Lord was just as happy and pleased with him as he was with the one that gained five. I cannot help but believe that if the man that would have had one talent, if he would have only gained one talent, I can't help believe his Lord would have been just as pleased with him. Thou gavest me a talent, and here I've gained and earned another talent. Here it is. I believe he'd have got the same response, the same praise. But he was too lazy to even attempt to try to do anything with the one talent that his Lord gave him. Isn't that a sad story? Isn't that sad that he had no ambition to try to do anything with his talent? I can't help but wonder what was going through his mind. I wonder if maybe he thought, maybe he's looking the situation over and he says, my friend's got five, my other friend got two, I only have one. I wonder if maybe he thought to himself, gee, my little portion is so small and my gift is so insignificant, maybe it really won't make a difference. Maybe it won't matter. Maybe I won't make any impact. Maybe I don't really need to do anything because my gift is so small, it's just not going to matter. I mean, I wondered if maybe he thought that. I mean, it's hard to know, isn't it? You know, I believe some of the Lord's people feel that way sometimes about their own personal gifts. I want you to know this morning that the Bible says that God has given a gift to every single one of you. Everyone. And I wonder sometimes, do some of us think that our gifts are insignificant in the scheme of things? Among the Lord's kingdom and among the Lord's church, do we feel like that our individual gift is small and insignificant, and that maybe I won't even be missed? If I'm not even at church, I won't even be missed. It's not going to really matter. I think some of the Lord's children feel that way sometimes. But I want you to know that it does matter. I want you to know that your gift matters very much. God has given you a gift according to your several abilities. Some of you have many gifts. Some of you have multiple gifts. Some of you may have one. Some of you may have one special gift that God has given you, but I promise you, you have one. He gave gifts to all three of his servants, and he gives them to his children now. He's given us something very valuable. And I believe he expects diligence and faithfulness to use it. I think that's what he's looking for. You know what that man did? All he did was make excuses. He says, well, I knew how you were, and I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent. I didn't do anything, but here it is. He really just made excuses. Seemingly, he's almost blaming his Lord because you're this way, because you are a hard man, because you are demanding. He says, it made me afraid, and I've shirked away from my duty and my responsibility. He's almost blaming the Lord for the way he reacted and his lack of effort. I mean, does that about sound like a human being today? Is we're always trying to blame someone else? We're living in a world of people today that's always trying to place the blame on someone else and not accept responsibility for their own actions or inactions. That's the world we live in. But I'll tell you, I believe the Lord's not fooled. He made a lot of excuses for his inactivity and his lack of action and trying to do anything with the talent that he was given, but I don't think the Lord was fooled for 1 minute. In fact, this laziness that this man had, it's a real sin, isn't it? Laziness is a real sin. It really is. There's so many references throughout the Bible about laziness and slothfulness. The Lord hates to waste anything. Have you ever noticed that? Do you remember when the 5,000 were fed with the five loaves and the two fishes? You remember what they did at the end of it? The Lord directed them, go and gather up the fragments that nothing remained. He is not about wasting anything, and he's most certainly not about wasting the spiritual gifts that he's given you. I promise you he's not. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, Paul talks about these spiritual gifts over here. In verse 4, Paul writes about these spiritual gifts that we all have. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Lord that gives the gifts. He says it's different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. He says in verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. And look at verse 7. Do you see what he says? He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That means now. That means immediately. Soon, to profit soon. What did Paul say? Who did he give the gifts to? It's given to every man. It's given to every person. The manifestation of the Spirit through the spiritual gifts that God gives is given to every person. Amen. That we might profit thereby. I'll tell you, what is your gift? We need to figure out what our gifts are that the Lord has given us. Just look around the room this morning at the collection of the saints that are here today, this little part of the body of Christ. Look at the diversities of gifts God has given. Look at the people that are here, and some of you that's been here for a little while, think back upon the things that you've seen some of these people do through the years, the gifts that God has given them and how they exercise them among the family of God. Some of you are outstanding in leading in prayer. Some of you have the gift to lead in prayer. Some of you have a gift to pray on your own in a quiet and a personal way. Some of you have a gift to pray for things that others of us don't even think of. Some of you have the gift of visitation. Some of you have been through the years, you have been outstanding in that how the effort you have made to go and visit the children of God, especially the ones that are sick and that are in duress and are not feeling well. Some of you have done an outstanding job of that. It's almost a gift of yours. Some of you have just different gifts that God has given. Some of you have the gift of being able to stay in touch with the other members and to call us up and to speak on the telephone. Some of you go and visit, and some of you have the gift of preparing food and bringing it to people in need. Some of you have the gift of inviting people to church and being an encourager for people to come to the house of God. Some of you have the gift of being able to share the love of God and this beautiful gospel of what Jesus Christ has done for you and I and for the family of God. Some of you have the precious gift of being able to share it with your friends, and you may make an impact in their life. I hope that you don't ever feel that your talent is insignificant in any way, because I promise you it's not. I hope that you know whatever your talent is, maybe God's given you several talents, they're all important. Some of you have a gift for being able to be here in the Lord's house every single time the doors are open and we have a worship service. There you are in your seat. Old faithful, young faithful, middle-aged faithful, whatever. You're faithful to be here in the Lord's house every single time it opens. I'll tell you, it makes an impact. I think back of people that I knew that their whole life was built on being faithful to the Lord's church. There's so many of them that are gone now. I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to see them again one day in glory. They were the finest people I've ever met on the face of this earth. Many of them. So faithful to the Lord's church. God has absolutely given you a gift. Figure out what your gift is. Ask God to show you. Pray about your specific gift and ask God to show you, what is it that I can do to help contribute to thy kingdom? Does God need help populating heaven? Absolutely not. That's not our job. But I'll tell you, we have a lifetime of other work and opportunities that he's given us. In fact, do you know what the reward was for those first two servants? One of them earned five more. The other one earned two more talents. You know what their reward was? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to make you a ruler over many. You're going to get more work. You're going to get more responsibility. Because you know what God does? I mean, doesn't God expect you and I to be a fruit-bearing branch in his kingdom? He says he does. But you know what he does when we bear fruit? Jesus says he purges it so it'll bear more fruit. Just bearing fruit one time is not good enough. That's not his expectation. A good, healthy fruit tree is expected to bear fruit, and then as soon as it's ready, you go and harvest or pick that fruit so it can continue bearing fruit and it can bear even more. That is exactly how Jesus described you and I. He says, when we bear fruit unto his Father, and by the way, he says, herein is my Father glorified when ye bear much fruit. Not just a little, not just a little small amount, not one tomato, not one peach, but much fruit. He says, my Father's glorified when you bear much fruit. And he says, and when you bear it, he says, I'm going to purge it so you can bear some more. Those first two, they got more work and more responsibility to do, didn't they? Because their Lord was pleased with them. But this one, I'll tell you, God has given us all these gifts, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with them. He says in verse 11, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God knows how to allocate the gifts of the Spirit. He knows what they are. He knows what your abilities are. And he allocates according to our abilities. The point that I just want you to think of this morning is that God has given you gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. And he wants us to use them. He wants us to be very much diligent and faithful in the exercise of our gifts. I can't cover all this chapter today, but it's so wonderful, this chapter 12. It's so wonderful talking about the body. He says that as the body is one, the body of Christ, and it has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so is Christ. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, the body of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he talks about the importance of all the different parts of the body. The hands, the knees, the feet, the ears, the nose. He says, there's not one part of the body that can say it's more important than the other because it's all needed. All the different parts of the body of Christ are needed and necessary. And God knows what he's doing when he built the body of Christ and he's given you the certain gifts. He knew what he was doing and he knows what he's doing. In verse 24, he says, our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That word tempered means mixed. It means allocated and mixed and blended perfectly. God has tempered the body. God has mixed and matched the body where it has come out to be perfect. All the parts are in harmony and in balance with one another. He has done that there should be no schism in the body. There's an odd word, a schism. It means a division. God has perfectly blended the body of Christ together that there should be no division in the body of Christ. No weak place in the body of Christ. But that all the members should have the same care one for another. And he says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he says, there's one body, there's one spirit, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all. It's not multiple deities. It's not multiple God. It's not multiple faiths. It's one. The body of Christ is one worldwide. There's only one God. There's only one Father. There's only one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. There's only one. But what about people that live over in other cultures, in other areas, in Europe and in Russia and in Asia and different parts of the world? What about all the different beliefs that they have and the belief systems they have? What about all of the different deities that they pray to and all? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all. You know what the beauty of God's word is? The beauty of God's word is that in the book of Revelation, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ hath redeemed his people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That means irregardless of what they're believing in here now, irregardless of the lack of gospel knowledge that many of them have, God still saves his people in the very same way. That's how God can save his people all over this world, regardless of what they've ever heard. They may have never seen a Bible. God can save his people the same way because there's one God. There's going to be so many people that are in heaven one day, and they're going to be so happy to be there, but they're going to be there in spite of what they believed here in this world. I'll give you my word. There are many of them that do not have gospel knowledge now, but they'll have it one day. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all. God has built the body of Christ, and he's put it together. He's tempered the body as it has pleased him. He's given you the gifts according to your abilities. What did Jesus say we're supposed to do? What does Jesus say we're supposed to do in Matthew chapter 5? Did he not say that we are the light of the world? Jesus said that we're the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In the parable that we looked at, what was Jesus interested in? Was it not diligence to work with that which we've been given along with faithfulness? To be diligent and faithful to that which God has given you? And to know that even if you feel like you only have one talent, how important it is, and that it makes a difference. Jesus says we are here not to be put under a bushel, to be put under some kind of a basket, but we are a light. We're the light of the world, and we're to be lit and put on a candlestick so that it might give light to all that is in the house. And he says, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. He didn't say to let your good works shine, but he said to let your light shine. And I believe that's what God is interested in us doing, is to bearing much fruit, letting our light shine here in this world. Didn't the James say one time to show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works? Works have a place, don't they? We're not working our way to heaven, but works have a place here in the kingdom of God. God is expecting you and I to do something with the talents that we have been given. Can you see that this morning? Can you believe in your heart that God expects us to do something with the gifts that we've been given? I certainly hope so. You know that one man, I cannot help but wonder what was going through his mind, all the reasons that he may have tried to convince himself that his contribution might not have been important. And he just went and buried that his Lord had given him. That wise man Solomon had a proverb that I believe applies to many of God's children today. And we'll end with this. Proverbs 11:24. He wrote this. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. What does Solomon mean by that? He says there are some that scatter. There are some of God's children who take the riches and the blessings that God has given them. And you know what one of their gifts is in this world? Is they scatter it among others to help other people. They take the material goods and the blessings that they have, the talents that they've been given, the things God has given them, and they're experts in scattering it among God's people and people in need. But on the other hand, there are others who keep to themselves much more than they should, and they're not generous. And you know what Solomon said? It happens, he says, but it tends to poverty. People try to hold and store up and they try to keep much more than they really need. But he said it tends to poverty. How about that? The wisest man that ever lived and wrote these proverbs in here, he said the people that give the most, are the ones that yet increase. I've seen that to be true. I'll tell you, I've seen it and I can testify in my little short lifetime. I've seen evidence of it myself. I have a long list of saints in my mind who I've seen live their life that way. They were givers and givers and givers. They always are giving to the Lord's people and helping the Lord's people. And yet they never run out of resources. They never run out. All they do is they seem to increase. But the little misers that always are holding back and too scared to help one of God's little children, I can't make a difference. Solomon says their life will tend to poverty. I've seen it before. What a wonderful lesson. I hope we'll think about these things. I hope that you and I will encourage one another. May we help one another along through life's way and encourage one another to be using the gifts that God has given us, each one of us. Each one of you are important, and each one of you are very much loved in the Lord's sight, and He cares about you, and He's going to come to you personally for His accounting and His reckoning. May we be able to gleefully say, Lord, here is that Thou hast given us plus more. May the Lord bless and keep each one of you this morning.